WVA, mobile.
KM4VWA, W4DJW. Is this supposed to rain tomorrow?
Down in a little bit of a hole, so I may be a little scratchy. I'll be out of the hole in just a second. I hope you can hear me. From what I'm hearing, yeah, it might be a little rainy tomorrow. It's supposed to come in about 10:30 tonight and have some rain tomorrow. That's off of that system that's hitting Florida, not Florida, hitting Louisiana right now.
Okay, well, I just pulled it up, and it's like, what is it today? 67% chance of rain today, 93% chance of rain tomorrow. I didn't realize it was going to rain tomorrow.
Now, that doesn't mean that we can't go out there and try to run between the raindrops.
Yeah, I have flown in the rain before, but not with a paper airplane, with one that's completely covered in monocoat. And it's not like it didn't do any damage either. It did damage.
Now, I've got a feeling that I think winds are running about, what, 5 to 6 right now? But with that system coming in, it's supposed to get a little breezy.
Yeah, it says 11 in Greer. I haven't checked Campobello. I can check Campobello from a Unix window, but I don't have one handy.
Okay, then that's current.
I'm going hunting for one.
Conditions?
No, it's, you can pick whatever time, you know, whatever date out in the future you want to pick. I usually go now, and then if it's morning, the evening, or if it's evening, the next morning, then the next evening.
Okay. Well, so I got my new antenna up and operational.
Okay, so that's kind of strange. There's less wind in Campobello than there is in Greer. That's the first time. It's always been the other way around. It's always been windy at Campobello and false indication of not having any wind in Greer. It's the other way around. Now it's saying in Campobello, 3 to 5 mile an hour winds now going up to 10 to 18 miles an hour later today. And then tomorrow, 4 to 6 in the morning or noon, and 12 to 16 in the evening. So it's going to be windy.
It'll be conditions we can try to fly in, that's for sure. Yeah, I was just looking up at some trees that are back off of the road where I am right now. I'm down here south of Easley, headed back to the house, and I'm on 86, headed towards 85, and the tops of the trees are stirring around in a great manner. Believe me, they're swirling.
W4DJW. Yeah. Oh, well, I got some good max amp batteries in, too. Those 150C batteries I'm going to put that are the right size for the laser. I've been meaning to take it out there since I got the truck going, but haven't had the right battery. I had batteries, but they were really old, and they wouldn't hold a charge. So you get it up there, and you get about a third of the way through the flight, and you'd have to land. So these new ones, these max amps, came in today.
What kind of MAH are they?
They have to be the right size. They're like 3,200. They're supposed to be 33. They're 3,250. For that airplane it's a big airplane, but the way it's constructed is it's super lightweight. You know that one that you see Eric flying every now and then, and he flies it on knife edge, and he's turning left and right and making circles and figure eights on knife edge close to the ground? That's a laser. The one that's got those wingtip caps on it, that's a laser. I've got one of those that's AJ Models version of those. AJ is the one that came out with them the very first. If you Google AJ Models, you'll see them. And I got one of the early ones from 6 years ago, and I've only flown it like 4 or 5 times because I switched jobs right at the time I got that one, so I didn't get to fly it much. And I haven't had a battery to fly it since we got back into it, and I wanted to make sure I got my thumbs tuned back up again too, because You can crash one of those pretty easy.
Wow. Oh, speaking of which, exponential is no longer a mystery. And the next learning curve is going to be mixing.
So exponential is good. When I had that black Bloody Wonder out there three weekends ago, and I ditched it in the field. I had it up at 60% expo. That's too much. It gets it really, really sloppy in the center of the stick, so you don't have to really pay much of attention, or you can be really fine-tuned on getting the wings level. That's the reason it was at 60, so that I can move the stick a lot to get the wings exactly level. But when you want to roll fast, when you get the aileron over there close to the 80 or 90%, the last 80 or 90% deflection is in the last 20% of the stick deflection. So the ailerons really move over with that last 20%. And that's what happened to me when I was way out there at the end. I was leveling up for a pass straight down the runway and didn't have enough control with this mid stick. So 60% is way too much.
Wow, okay. Well, what I want to do, Scott is doing very well, but he's running his flaps manually. And he is trimming down on the elevator just as soon as he finishes throwing in the flaps. To looking at that, and I can do a mix for the flap, and I can do it proportional so that a portion of elevator will kick in with whatever portion of flap that I dial in, so that it's not going to just jump and change attitude.
That's the way you're supposed to do that. That's the way full-scale planes do it, too. They've got a trim tab out there on the elevator, and the guys that taught me full-scale were teaching me don't rely on the stick for down elevator, but when you throw your flaps in, hit that trim wheel a couple of times so that you don't have to think about it. It's the same thing. You're doing the exact same thing.
Call for my wife real quick, and I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, I'm just reading while I'm drinking some coffee at my desk, W4DJW.
KW, KN4BWA, I'm back.
Hey, I just came across this thing that Taper created that's called a Whisper Pi. WSPR Pi. That's all one word. WSPRPI. Yeah. That you can sit it on the GPIO header of a Raspberry Pi and attach an antenna to it, and you can be whispering 24/7 by 365 for $32 plus your antenna and your power supply and a Raspberry Pi.
Well, okay. So I'm sure you will have one post haste.
Oh, well, so I scrolled down and I see that you get 20 for $32, and you get 30 meters for $32, and you get 40 meters for $30. Yeah, never mind. Scratch that. They didn't do it right. There's another one out there that somebody's working on that you can do. It's an all-bander whisper that sits on top of a Pi. I'll have to find that for about that same price, and it does all bands. This isn't such a good deal after all.
Okay. Well, listen, I got that little phony out there, and I got it. The instructions, the build instructions, and the place where they tell you to put the battery is not always as accurate as what it actually should be.
You thinking it needs to be more nose heavy than they're telling you?
The battery all the way to the nose, and then added 1/2 ounce of weight, and it balanced perfectly, and it flies beautifully.
So here's the thing. I forget which airplane it was that the Air Force built, but it had a forward swept wing. It's a jet airplane with a forward swept wing. They don't make it anymore, but they did there for a little while. And it could fly, but it had to have a computer controlling the control surfaces to keep it stable, because it's just constantly moving them to keep it flying on a fly-by-wire straight and level path. So the reason they've got that CG so far back is for a very similar reason. because that thing's made to do it, a roll. It can do a roll around its own axis. Right, it's got three X, Y, and Z axis. It can do a loop with the elevator on the axis that goes through lengthwise of the wing. Yeah, it's like you put a bar, like you put a bar through the spar, and you twirled it. It can do that, but not with that nose weight and that battery that far forward. It's got to be back to get it to do that, and to compensate for it being so squirrely because it's that far back, they're using a flight controller, not a flight controller like Pixelhawk, right? That's a jam-up flight controller, costs you a couple $100. Not those, the out-of-the-box flight controller that's the kind that guy was having trouble with that day that was a beginner wanting to put it on begin. So, yeah, you can put that CG back there, but you got to be really, really good, or you got to use a flight controller.
On the wing spar, I have no forward down tip, and this thing is absolutely dead balanced, flat level at the CG with the battery moved all the way forward.
Did you break the elevator holder at the servo holding mounting bracket at back there at the elevator, the one in the back of the fuselage?
I break the what?
The area that the servo goes in. Did you have to beef that up and make it stronger so that the servo didn't move around when you gave it up and down elevator?
No.
Okay. Did you have to put a lot of glue way out on that leverage of the fuselage and the tail somewhere? Because it doesn't take much glue way out there at the end to offset your CG up there up front where the battery is.
Dab of hot glue large enough to cover the surface of the control horn is all that's there.
Is the servo the one they recommend for the servo back there? Because servo is pretty heavy.
The servos that I installed are the ones that came with it.
Okay. Is the wing mounted on the right place on the fuselage? Could it be off? Could something be backwards?
It has formed index mounting points where you cannot move the mounting of the wing forward or back.
Wow, okay. That is kind of weird. Because normally, I don't ever add weight to an airplane. Never. If I find a way to get that CG far enough forward, instead of adding weight there, I would be poking holes in the tail with a hole saw, about a 1-inch or 1.5-inch hole saw, and then covering the holes with monocoat or supercoat for low temperature.
In thinking about it and in material, I think I know that way. I did not put a landing gear on this one. The original kit called for a small landing gear.
And the landing gear is forward of the CG, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that's it. That's probably it, then. But I don't see any of those airplanes, any of those kinds of airplanes. I don't think anybody puts landing gear on them.
Probably part of why. I mean, landing gear on this, when you take it to the outside, this one is made to be flown in a gym or on the outside as long as the air is not above about 5. And I flew it at about 6 or 7 Friday morning after the wind started getting up, and I was still able to control it just fine. It's made to come in on a gym floor or a smooth surface.
Did you add exponential to that one too?
55, and I'm fixing to come down in a hole by the Harley Davidson place. I got a little scratchy that time. Did I?
Yeah, you're getting a little scratchy on me too. Let's see if I can. There, I bumped the power up while we were talking. I didn't know I could do that in flight while you're key down, but I did. So I'm on high now. I don't know if that helped any or not. Probably not if you're going down in a hole. But I was asking if you added any exponential to that one, because I remember you had to really, you had to cut the throwback to 50% or less, right?
Yes. Now this is a RC Motion Paige. This is not that Revolto. I haven't figured that Revolto out yet. That thing, I don't know. But the Paige, that's the same one that Ollie was flying. It's working out fantastic. It's a good little kit, and it's doing everything that it's supposed to. And believe the wingspan on it is only 31 or 2, where the Revolto was 40. And it had baffles, or a like speed brakes on the ends of the wings of the ailerons, on the ends of the ailerons. And I took those off, and when I took those off, I was able to go back to 100% throw on that, and it works out just beautifully. Thing will snap roll just, and it's stable. Oh, and I can do flat 180 degree turns with just the rudder.
Well, that's really good. That's that. You need to play with that a lot till that rudder thumb loosens up so that you're really, really comfortable with that rudder thumb. That's fantastic for that. That's the reason I fly those little Bloody Wonders, is to just to keep your thumbs in tune. It takes more work than you think.
Especially when you got real stiff thumbs after 30 years.
This is true. Absolutely. It makes a difference. It's like learning math and then not using it and then having to go back and learn it over again.
Yep. Well, so, I flew the Paige at the house, and, oh, man, out there in front of my building, or, you know, in that nice grassy area where I got the airstrip cut, and it just did beautifully. It's just going to be a ton of fun to fly right there at the house.
Yeah, that's really easy. And that'll give you confidence. Once you get that one going, you'll start trying your other ones, flying the other ones out of there. And before you know it, you'll be comfortable flying anything out of there.
Okay, but I'm not sure that mall is going to fly in and out of there. It's pretty tight.
Once you get your confidence level up, that one, you'd be amazed. That's a short field takeoff and landing, STOL airplane. So it's meant to, I mean, it's got to be moving, but it doesn't have to move much. And you can, and what you saw what it does with those flaps on there, it's got a lot of lift. And you can do the same thing in reverse. One of the things we used to do with our competition planes was climb out straight up, you know, till it's just a little dot in the sky, and then chop the throttle, and then let it come down straight at the earth. Just let it fall. Let gravity do the acceleration, 32 feet per squared per squared. And it will pick up a lot of speed. And then right before it hits the earth, you push all the way down on down elevator, and it does a outside loop, and the rudder just goes past the earth really quick. And then you pull the throttle stick all the way back, and the spoilers go up. And the elevator goes down, and you just float it right down there at the earth. That mall will do that same thing. You just got to learn how to fly it like that, but it'll do it.
One of the things I think is going to need to be involved in that is my learning that mix. And that's the next tool in the bag coming.
That helps. That helps a lot, but it's... Yeah, that helps. Eric puts a lot of stress on that. And for slow flying and you're doing regular pattern flying and stuff like that, that's true. But if you're doing, like, competition flying, that's not necessarily true.
I don't know that I'd ever hit the competition level. I'm a fun Sunday flyer. Now, by the way, Scott was flying that E-Flight Turbo Timber. And the characteristics on that thing are very close to the mall. just not quite as extreme as the mall. And, man, he learned real quick. As you come in, the way he's got his throttle set up, you come in with 50%, let it settle in, and then you just gradually start cutting the throttle back. You gotta fly it to the ground, and he doesn't chop the throttle until that thing is, I mean, inches above the ground.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That is. That's a lot of fun. It is like a helicopter almost.
Feeling that that may be some of the shenanigans that he wants to get into. He's seen a few of those YouTube videos where they hang it on the prop right in front of you and, you know, use the rudder to make it move around and the ailerons to spin it around while it's hanging. I think he's wanting to get into that kind of stuff.
W4DJW, there's one guy out there that has a tricopter that he flies it a lot like that, like an airplane, but it's a tricopter, and it's got three motors. It's got two motors up front, left and right, and it's got one in the back, and the one in the back, the motor actually pivots left and right, and that's how his yaw works. If he turns the motor, if he pivots the, so it's not like like a quad, it increases and decreases the RPM on any of the motors. There's no moving parts other than RPM of the motor. But that tricopter has a moving, it's got a servo. And I'll try to find the name of that, but you ought to look up the YouTube on that one. there's almost nothing that guy can't do with that tricopter. It's a lot of fun.
What's the name of that drone that kid had out there chasing my airplane that day? That was a quad. No, or was it? What was that?
That was a race, a racing quad, a small racing quad. Some guys out in California first created that. There's a guy named Sheldon, Richard Sheldon, out in California, who went from hexacopters to racing quads, and he kind of perfected it, and DJI picked up on that. So DJI built a version of his quad, and they call it, it's not Air, what is it? It's, I can't remember the name of it, but I saw it when it came out, thought about getting one, but decided against it. I didn't have any idea it would go 98 miles an hour or 102 miles an hour or fly 5 miles out and back. But evidently DJI's put a lot into that one. It does fly good. DJI something quad, racing quad or something like that. I'll have to look it up.
The VR goggles came with it.
So that's what's called the Fly More package. So with any of their quads, you can buy just the quad by itself, or you can spend enough on a combo that's a Fly More package. And the Fly More package, you get all of those extra things for just barely, just a little bit more than what you would pay for just for the copter by itself. So yeah, he's right. You can, but they're in the thousands of dollars, right? They're not cheap. There are some of those things cost over $6,000.
Watch. But I tell you what, that thing was sure impressive that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I looked it up. It's called the DJI FPV Racing Drone. FPV is first person view. That's the goggles. When you're flying with goggles, they call it FPV, first person view. DJI First Person View Racing Drone is the name of it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I had no idea that it would do what it does, but I don't really have a whole lot of use for something like that. But other than I do like the follow me thing that you can do with it, so that you can film from the sky. That's great. That's fantastic. I'd spend it, if I got one of those, that would be the reason I'd get it, not for racing.
Yep, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Well, yeah, okay. I'm coming up Burnsmith Parkway towards White Hampton here at Victor Hill. And mud. Let me tell you, the trees are moving seriously now.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I was just excited that my batteries from my laser finally got here and I was going to get to go fly. Now, I guess not. Oh, well. There will always be another day.
Now, speaking of which, did you take a little vacation between positions?
Vacation between what?
Between positions.
You know, I was thinking about doing that. I don't know how that's going to turn out. It could be that I don't have any time. It could be that I, you know, volunteer to do 2 weeks, but then ask them not to. I don't know. I don't know what this other company is. I don't know what their plans are yet.
But he's self-terminated with the prior group.
No, not yet. They haven't made me an offer yet at the new one. I'm still waiting for an offer. I've got three more technical reviews to go through.
Well, is it a leadership position?
It is, but they want leadership that knows the technology, that can actually do the technology. They don't want leadership that doesn't know the technology. They've had that. That's what they're going away from.
Gracious, and what technology could it be that you don't know?
The architecture fields, I'm not a security architect, so that one I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, pretty much everything else, you got it knocked.
That and some of the elastic compute, the newer stuff for the clouds, the differences between Azure and AWS and Google Cloud, there's some, like, elastic compute is what they call it in AWS. I don't know what they call it in Azure or Google Cloud. So it could be they use a different technology there. So you just got to be careful with that.
Well, I hope it works out for you. Have things been a little better since the other situation changed up?
Oh, yeah, that's been a ton of relief. Absolutely. It's livable now, but if there's better out there, then I have no loyalty. Not anymore, not after what I went through.
That guy was probably brought in by someone just over the top of him and told that he was in charge and he should bring in certain people that he liked. And in no uncertain terms, he was told to produce and cut costs. And they didn't care how he did it. So, you know, something like that can happen again down the food chain. If it happened the first time, it's probably going to happen again.
You're absolutely right. That's like marrying a partner that cheated on you and divorcing them and marrying them again. There's no way. It's okay for some people, but I can't do that.
Yep. They call them patterns for a reason. And it's highly unusual that human beings change patterns. But sometimes they do. Well, in the meantime, I'm glad things are better for you. Now, if you decide to go with that other thing and they give you a break, give me a call. We'll do some intensive flying time.
Absolutely. Amy would be at work, and I would be free to go fly every day. Oh, yeah, I built four more of those Bloody Wonders with a wider fuselage so the parts inside can get more air flow around them because I think I was cooking the speed controllers in them. So I've got, well, they're not completely built. All the parts are cut out, and they're in the process of gluing on control horns and stuff like that. But I got four more of them, two white ones and two black ones, ready to go just about.
Thank you.
And then that laser, and then after that I'm planning to bring out the, what's the name of that one? The Burt Rutan Quickie Canard. You know the difference between the Quickie and the Long Easy?
What, Canards? I do not remember the difference between the two. Which one was it that John Denver was killed in?
That's the Long Easy. That's the one that's got the, it's got a big wing that's swept that you're, it's like you're sitting on, and it's got a little elevator that sits right in front of your feet. And a bubble dome right there in front of it. That's the long easy. The quickie, its fuselage looks like a fish or a dolphin with its back arched, and the wing behind the arch in the back, you've got the back wings right that are top mounted. They're on the top of the fuselage, mounted up behind the canopy, and they've got dihedral. And then in front of your feet, you've got another wing that's your elevator. It's got anhedral. All right, so if you look at it from the nose coming straight at you, it looks like an X-wing. But the front wing has anhedral, and the wheels are in the wing, and that's your canard. And the elevator is on the back of the wing, the elevator. The control surface is on the back of the horizontal stabilizer, and it goes up to push you down, and it goes down to pick you up. It's backwards from the elevator on a typical conventional airplane.
VWA, you do know that Dick Rutan was an alien.
Bert Rutan. No, but I think he was. You know, he had sideburns like Elvis Presley. W4DJW.
That's right. It was Bert Rutan. Yeah, you do know he was he was alien, don't you?
Yeah, you know he's building those spaceships too for Bezos, right? For who?
SpaceX.
Yeah, there was a SpaceX prior to Elon Musk that was a prize for the first commercial launch 10 miles into outer space. First one to successfully do that. And I think that was Bert Rutan. I'm pretty sure that was Bert Rutan who won the X Prize.
Now, who is the British guy that's got one going? All right. Bezos and somebody else are going up into space. They've tested the thing 68 times, and it's worked flawlessly 68 times, and they're about to take Jeff Bezos up. Which outfit is that?
I don't know. I saw that same thing, I think, that you're talking about. And I just now looked up the Spaceship One is the one that won the $10 million X Prize. But I don't know, it's been a while since I've looked at that, so I'd have to pull that up again to be sure I give you the right answer.
That's SpaceX, isn't it? SpaceX is Elon Musk, and now you do know the catch behind that $10 million, don't you? They get to keep your spacecraft.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't care. He's the designer. He doesn't care about an instance of as much as he cares about the design of.
True, too. But yeah, he's a very smart guy, isn't he?
Yeah, Paul Allen was the billionaire that sponsored the build. Bert Rutan sponsored the brain trust, right? And Paul Allen sponsored the money trust. And together, the brain trust and the money trust, they built Spaceship One.
I'd love to go into space, but I swear, they would have to have that thing land vertically in the same spot that it took off from about 268 times before I'd really get comfortable.
Well, this one, you know, Spaceship One was launched from between two other airplanes that were coupled together. And they flew it up. There's a big airplane that had a gap in the middle between two fuselages, and they mounted it between it, and they launched it from, I don't know, really high up.
Well, like one concept.
Yeah. Haul it up with an airplane and then launch it from close to, so you don't burn up all your fuel, because that's where most of their energy goes, is getting up the first 10 miles, burn 90% of their fuel in the first 10 miles.
I know it's just pie in the sky, but did you read where Boeing is going to try to build the first passenger, or rather, I don't know if it's supersonic or hypersonic as correct term, airliner. In other words, they're going back after that Concorde-type market.
Yeah, the French. They're going to take over that the French market share that hasn't been fulfilled since they parked their Concorde, since France parked their last Concorde. I think it's it only had one accident ever with that thing that I'm aware of. But yeah, I saw the where they're doing that, and it's a huge airplane. And I think they're looking at jet engines to get it going so fast, but to get to the rest of the way, they're using scramjet technology. Is what I thought I read scramjet on that. Scram. When you're still inside an atmosphere, you use scram. When you have no more atmosphere left at all, you go to pulse.
Right, that's right. Okay. Wow. Well, Well, if they can do it, more power to them. I tell you. But you did read that? They're talking about being able to have a production. First production by 2030?
I skimmed through it. I didn't read. But that sounds right. 2030 sounds about right. But that's not, I mean, that market share is going to be really small. All right? That's going to be composed of, I don't know, multimillionaires, I guess. Because those flights aren't going to be cheap. You buy a house for a flight, for what it costs to do one flight.
That's always been part of the issue, and they say that they're going to get that cost factor back under control because, like you said, it is a larger aircraft, and they're going to be able to carry much more volumetrically in the cabin, which means more people, and, you know, each flight would have its cost come down.
Which would make the Concorde, if it was still here, marketable so that you can make a profit. But the reason they quit the Concorde is because it wasn't making a profit because the market share, it costs too much. So this would bring that price down, but it still wouldn't bring it down to the range of what you can pay to fly commercial airline today.
If they figure out how to get those costs down, it's a non-starter. But at least they'll have the technology there. But and you know what? I really think they're looking at building towards, because I know Boeing's getting some government funding on this, but I believe they're building towards having a shuttle bus to a space station and a space station out to the moon.
Yeah, not the space station, a space station. That is a hotel, right? It's made there. It's a hotel in outer space. So, yeah, that's the same article that I read.
Well, I didn't mean that the space station would go to the moon. I meant that the space station would be a transfer point, and then they would use another craft to go on to the moon.
Yeah, I didn't see that part of it, but I did see the part where you go up there, you spend your vacation in space. I don't know if I'd want to do that. It seemed kind of scary. I'd go up there for a day or two. I don't think I could relax up there like you could, like, in Jamaica or somewhere in the Caribbean.
To do it one time, just for the experience, I'm all about that type of thing. But as far as going and doing something like that to relax, nah, you're right. My idea of relaxing is sitting on a beach, a white sand beach, somewhere other than the Redneck Riviera, and hardly any people around, and just sitting back and relaxing with a nice rum toddy.
Have you ever been to St. Thomas or John, not John's Island off of South Carolina, but St. John's Island, down there in the Virgin Islands.
Good, that is still too crowded.
We've been down there a few times, and it wasn't during the summertime. It was when it was warm down there, but getting chilly up here, and it wasn't crowded at all. There was just enough people there to know that you weren't there by yourself.
Okay, inform VWA. I tell you what, you let me know what time of year that is, and if it's safe to go there still, and I'll be on my way.
W4DJW. Yeah, we were talking about that the other day going back there, but so Amy's looking for someplace on some Florida beach where you don't get the muddy green water that you get at Myrtle or at any of the South Carolina beaches. The further south you go, the clearer the water gets. So she was looking for a place, not all the way down to the Virgin Islands, but something, you know, not so far down as Miami or the Keys, but something between here and there that you got some clear water, but you don't have to get on a plane to fly over there.
That, sir, is anywhere along the hard curve headed south on the Gulf side. And the water's not too hard and choppy, and it's just smooth, and it's beautiful, and it's like crystal clear.
On the Gulf side, anything I've ever seen of the Gulf is a lot like the water at Myrtle Beach.
I've gone. And I'll tell you what, being the water up to your chest, look down and you can just see your toes wiggle.
Yeah, we haven't been to the same place then in the Gulf. I think I went down to Dothan. We went out to Dothan, Alabama, and we went out 60 miles into the Gulf to do deep sea fishing. And it looked like Myrtle Beach water down there.
Okay. Well, listen, Dave, I have destinated. And I'm back here at the house, and I'm going to have to get out here and begin my honeydews today. I've been down to Columbia and back, and get out here and straighten up the weed eater, do a few other things, get back to the real world. You got me daydreaming about white sand beaches again. All right, back to the monotony, Bubba. And if you do get that break, we're going to do a lot of flying, okay? So choose your break on real good weather. 73, K and 4 VWA, I'm clear
at your final, buddy. All right, good talking to you. I'm going to go back to work on finishing up those builds. K and 4 VWA, W4 DJW, clear.